And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Here we are at the second hour. I'm Amnon Nissan, your host, here with Larry Dial.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our sponsors for today are Computer Renaissance, with two great area locations, one at Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary, and the other one at North Hills Plaza across from the North Hills Mall. They have a great selection of new and used computers, and like Larry says, they also sell
used Macs.
Used Macs. And we're also sponsored by Mindspring, direct to the internet. Call Mindspring at 1-888-MSPRING or on the World Wide Web at www.mindspring.com. Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you are a 360 communication customer. And let's go to the first phone call. Good morning, you on 850. Whoopsie. Good morning, you on 850 The Buzz.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Listen, I got a couple of chips on my shoulder here.
All right, chips.
Yeah.
What kind of chips?
Yeah. Well, see, I've talked to Larry here on the on email a couple times. So, just want to get your feedback on the new Intel chip that's out, and any information or what you know about the new AMD 3D chip that's coming out.
No, didn't look into it. Larry wanted me to get the AMD guy.
Yeah, we talked about this morning, Steve, and I told we're going to try to get an AMD guy to come in.
Yeah.
What I did see in the paper this morning is that the P2400s are out. I mean, they're available locally. I don't know what they're charging for them, but again, as we talked, the problem that I have with the Pentium 2s is that slot board.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And you're stuck. I have a lot of faith in. I mean, I've used a lot of AMD chips. I have a lot of faith in their ability to produce. So, but I think the best thing to do, and I'm going to keep on him because he's sweaty now because he's answering phones and doing all this, to get an AMD guy on here to talk with us, because we've had a Cyrus guy.
Yeah.
And Kevin's terrific, as I mentioned, and knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. And let's get somebody in here soon to talk about it, because it is starting to put the heat on Intel, and people like you and others out there are waiting to make decisions on purchases.
Right. Well, the last thing I read was they were saying the AMD 3D was supposed to be out May 15th. But I've been hearing everything from May to June to whatever.
And you believe everything you read?
Of course.
You believe everything you read. That's why he listens to us.
Well, I'll look at it. I'm sure Larry will, too, and we'll get back with that.
Yeah. What do you know about that new Intel chip? What is it, Celeron?
I hear it's a dog.
Really?
Yeah, that's the low-end chip.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews have been not good. And I'm trying to figure out why they would do it when there's so much out there. I mean, Helen.
Because they had a bunch of chips that didn't pass certain
standards. Right.
So now they're, instead of throwing them away, they come up with...
That's like, remember when they sold the SLs?
Yeah.
I mean, the first laptop I ever bought had a 486 33 SL. And then I found out later what that was a 486 with a math coprocessor disabled because it didn't pass the quality test. So it's a reject. You're probably right. What I've heard is that these are, I mean, hell, you can get a 200 megahertz.
Less than $100.
For less than $100. Yeah. And that's a great chip.
Yeah, I noticed that at the last little computer show they had out at the fairgrounds there, one of the guys was down from Ohio, and I noticed Ohio's really got a lot of computer manufacturers up there for some reason. But, he mentioned that when he comes to this area, he always brings extra AMD chips because he said he sells more here than he does, say, up in the Northeast or different areas like that. He said it's really, really bizarre that this area goes more for the AMD chips.
Huh? Good.
So thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks.
All right.
Enjoy the show.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you guys getting up early on Saturday.
Appreciate you staying in line for so long.
I wanted to follow up on that question about the processors. But before I do that, I called a few weeks ago, and I was getting this Microsoft Air that was a looping message that kept going in and out and in and out, and we're trying to figure out what would be a way to work with it, a rescue disk or something.
Refresh our memory.
Yeah, we're old people.
Oh, I'm old too, so.
We're all in trouble.
Oh, I'm not even remembering the exact one, but what I wanted to tell you was we talked about using different rescue disks and using first aid. I went back to first aid, and there's a feature on there called Backtrack that keeps a record of the registry, and you can actually go back and restore former registries.
Hmm.
And I went and did that, and it worked, and I didn't have to reload everything.
Hallelujah. It's great.
Are you serious? How many back does it keep?
Oh, I haven't even counted. It's like 30 or 40.
Very interesting.
It goes on forever. It's a really neat feature. I read my manual. I thought, well, I'll give it a try. But sure enough, there it was. And so I went back one or two before the air started happening. And it started it up, and it worked.
That's great. And it's a clean sweep product?
First aid.
No, first aid.
First aid product.
That's
Can you back up the registry with the program, manually? See, I don't like...
It backs it up.
No, that's the whole story. That's the whole point here. I don't like programs like that to be running in the background.
Oh.
I would love to use it and to have a button or a command that you can do and say, back up the registry right now.
Well.
And it will, and it'll keep it there. But then it'll go out of the picture. Did you come across something like that there?
Well, I know you can get it off memory resident. I mean, you don't have to have it operating all the time.
So that means you should be able to just run it when you want.
Run it when you want.
I mean, you guys,
good.
It's probably worth you guys playing with it.
Yeah, I'll call and get a copy. Yeah, that's very
interesting.
That's a
terrific feature. Thanks
all
very
right.
much.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, sure.
Thanks
well, I have a question.
Now the question, yeah.
Yes.
I've been limping along on a 46DX 280, good Cyrex chip. I've got Windows 95. I mostly do word processing and business stuff. Some real simple desktop publishing,
right.
Tax information, accounting, some basic stuff. But I have an 11-year-old son who also likes to run games.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we're not in the current Star Wars games.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm looking, though, as far as upgrading, what would you recommend for someone like me? I mean, I know I don't have to go to the top.
Don't go with anything less than a 233.
Yeah, the prices that we've seen, I mean, I just telling Anna this morning, I saw prices in the paper this morning. It just astounded me. There's a Pentium 2 333 system with a...
Don't tell him. You should not go with a Pentium 2.
Well, I know.
Doesn't need to know.
Even with AGT, you don't want to do
$1,500 this thing was. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm not a fan of P2 chips, as we've talked about in the slot boards.
Me neither.
The other thing I saw is that the 400's out.
Mm-hmm.
For a gaming machine, everything I've read is that these P2s are good chips. Mm. If that's really what you want to do for multimedia, if the primary use of the chip of the machine,
it's not going to be primary. But I'm wondering, you know, I don't know how big of a deal this AGP is.
It is big,
yes.
And if your son wants to play even one game that requires it, then never mind. It's not going to be primary or secondary, whatever. You have to get it. That's right there. That's it.
Is there anything besides the Pentium 2 that runs AGP?
The AGP has nothing to do with Pentium 2.
Right.
That's the video card.
Right, but I thought only the motherboard handled the AGP that ran the Pentium 2s.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Oh,
I think,
okay.
I know the Tian, the upper-end Tian boards do.
There's a bunch of motherboards that have the AGP socket that will slot that will accommodate.
And you can still stay with just a regular Pentium
socket
chip.
7, yeah. Well,
would you go with Pentium over AMD? And that's what you guys are talking about.
No, we'll go with AMD.
Well, we like AMDs. I haven't heard of Cyrus, but I know that...
I did. It works.
It works?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a lot of luck with these AMD 233s. They are fast and...
266 is available.
And I haven't seen a 266.
180 some bucks.
So the prices are outrageously good.
So you can combine that with an AGP card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's probably the way to go then.
We knocked the slot technology because... It just is so proprietary.
Right.
Not many manufacturers, so I don't know why one would do it.
Right.
Okay?
No one can put them in right now except for Intel, right?
Well, Intel or somebody licensed by Intel. Yeah. Same thing.
Right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. All right. And good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Beep, beep, beep.
Uh-oh. Somebody's backing up.
Hello? Are you backing us up?
Nope. We lost him. That was on a cell phone, I guess. Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you are a 360 communication customer. And in your car, that wasn't a very good commercial for 360 communication when you're in the car and that's what happens. But we paid for it. At least we paid for it, so you don't have to pay
for
it. It's
free.
It's free. #850 if you're a 360 communication. Otherwise, 860-0850 at 9... after the break on the 20th.
The Intel guy, the Intel network.
Jim
guy.
Johnson, yep, is going to call in, and we're going to have a very interesting.
Is this another, he's another product manager, like the guy that we talked to on.
Like Jeff about it, yeah.
They got your number, and I just keep calling you.
Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am in the process of putting together my own PC, first time doing it.
Just make sure that don't do it right now.
Okay. And my question is concerning motherboards, and I've been reading a lot of stats and statistics, and the two parts that I'm confused about, and maybe I'm kind of asking your opinion, what are the important criteria in buying a motherboard is, I'm noticing some of the new motherboards are coming out with 1 meg of cache,
right,
as compared to 512.
Go for it.
And some of the new motherboards are coming out with new chipsets.
That's fine.
The Apollo, they call them the VIA APG chipsets. First of all, would you wait until those motherboards are out? And what are the important criteria you use when buying a motherboard?
Okay, let's put it this way. Oh, you were going
to
say something?
No, there? Well, back to your reference, and then I'll let Amnon, because he's the motherboard guru. Take a look at my favorite site is www.sysdoc, S-Y-S-D-O-C.
S-Y-S-D-O-C,
one word.
D-O-C, yep.
Dot pair, P-A-I-R.
Okay.
Dot com. It's a German hardware site that does reviews of motherboards and CPUs better than anybody. Mm-hmm. But the local expert is sitting right here, so go ahead, Amnon.
What you should do is like this. First of all, you should buy it locally.
Okay.
Then if you buy it locally and something doesn't work, you can take it back.
Okay.
And if you came to me and you said, I want to get the motherboard with this and this chipset, and let's say I don't have it, but I'll find it for you and I'll sell it to you. If you come after a couple of months, 6 months, and you say, look, this doesn't work. Well, actually, you'll come back after a month or so, or 2 weeks. Say, this doesn't work like I thought so. In order to keep you a customer, I'll give you another one.
Right.
Because I can always return that one and say, look, guys, this is not what you said it is. So don't be afraid to experiment. Now, to wait until it's a proven thing, if you don't trust anybody, then it's okay also, because motherboards are somewhere around, hovering right around the $100 mark, $100, $150, $70, something like that. So it's not a big expense to buy something that when you read, you say, wow, this is great. Reviews that you see are saying this is a great motherboard. Buy it. You feel comfortable? Buy it. If you screwed up and it's the wrong thing and you can't take it back, you're only out $100 and some.
Right.
So go with what you feel good about, and of course you should feel good about it after talking with us here, and go to SysDoc and different places. But if a motherboard hit the market and it's being used, chances are there's nothing wrong with it.
Is there any brand that you feel most comfortable with or have had the best experience with?
I like the Shuttle boards. I'm beginning to like more and more the TechRam. I'll stay away from the Metonic. I'll stay away from...
you'll pay more for what? ABIT and ASIT?
ABIT is a great board.
Tyan's a good board.
Tyan is a good board, turns out.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be. It is now.
Yeah.
BSM. Some of those things carry 3-year warranty. Some of them carry 2-year warranty. It's a resource that you have to.
I mean, there are some stores in town that you can go to and take a look at motherboards. They're not our sponsors.
Right.
So I don't know that I can mention them.
No, it's fine.
Go to Stay Online. I mean, they sell motherboards.
Stay Online should be our sponsor.
It should be.
Way.
We keep telling them.
And I'm going to work on it.
Good.
Okay.
Stay Online is in Raleigh as
Very
well as in
good.
Durham.
Yeah.
They've got people who know motherboards. They've got a variety of them. And you're doing absolutely the right thing, by the way, by concentrating on a motherboard first, because what people don't understand is you can put the best processor on a bad
absolutely.
Motherboard, and guess what?
Yep.
Nothing works.
Right.
I've seen it many times. So, as Amnon said, it's not that expensive. You pay lot less for a motherboard than you would for other components.
Right.
But it's the thing that runs it all.
Okay.
Okay.
So, thank you very much.
Thanks
for calling 850 The Buzz. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this kid knows what he's doing, because at least he's starting at the right place.
You're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Again, our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. We pay for the call. Otherwise, if you're at home, 860-0850, home or the office. Motherboards. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, and a lot of them that are working really, really good.
One thing we did forget, I think, and maybe you're more attuned to this than I am, is bus speed, because the new motherboards are 75.
They will support 66, though, and that's what
you need backwardly compatible to 66,
right.
But you want to have one that will support 75.
And they were going to go to 100, too.
Right.
Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Hello there. How you all doing?
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I have a question for you. Maybe you could help me out with.
I never helped him.
No.
No? Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
But stay online.
All right. I'd like to know how to get the plugins on the when you're using a web browser so
right.
they don't appear.
So they don't appear?
Well, the problem I'm running into is that I go to some sites that load real audio or whatever.
Right.
And what happens is I'm using speech to access the web.
Right.
So.
Oh, so you don't want the graphics to come up.
Well, not as much as I don't want the graphics, but I don't want to have real audio come up.
That's what I'm talking about, the real audio screen with the controls and everything.
Yes.
Wow, I don't know that that's possible.
You can click on the screen, but with voice activation.
You see, with the voice, with the reader, every graphics can create havoc.
Well, not only that, but I really don't want to hear this 15-second long spiel about the real audio players come up and this real cryptic file name and that, because one of the websites I go to is a music site that displays the song and title.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to hear maybe the website, the song, the title, the album, rather than real audio player, and the file is a real, has this like 10-digit code.
You may be able to do away with the, I've never tried to do that. You see, that's the thing. We don't think that way.
No.
You may be able, they're in the view. If you go to view.
Right.
You may be able to turn most of the stuff off. And it doesn't leave, you know, it takes away the volume control. It takes away all the details, all those buttons. Turn everything off and see what you end up with.
Okay, I could try that.
Another way, and I don't know what system you're using or what browser, but I know that an Internet Explorer 4.0 real player is a built-in component, so you don't see that.
Well, I'm using 3.0. My software doesn't work with 4.0 yet.
Because I know that
that box will come up because that's what gives you the forward and rewind and volume control
saying.
And all that. So he doesn't want that box that says real audio to come up.
I've used it because I've got both on the system, the one that came with, and the NetPlayer Real Audio plugin for 4.0 doesn't come up. It just plays in the
so
background.
So then how do you control the
volume on your system?
The volume, or if you want to forward it, or...
But then you're using...
Okay. We'll play with it, and maybe we'll talk about it.
It's a good question. I mean, I'm sure that the software manufacturers
need
to be more concerned with this.
Well, I'm also going to guess that the other way you control it is it'll appear in the task tray.
That's exactly what it is.
You just click on that spot, which I can do that. That'd be no problem.
Yeah, see, with 95 or NT and IE4.0, that's exactly what you do. I mean, they've done a bunch of that built in.
Okay.
And I also have complaints about Java. I emailed you about that.
Thanks for calling. Well, go
good
ahead.
For you.
No.
I'm a Java programmer in my spare time.
I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Does it not happen on other sites that have Java?
Well, I think what it is that the processor that I have at work is slower than molasses.
Okay, so that's why.
So I think that's why it's happening.
Did you turn it off?
Yes, I did.
And?
Well, I didn't get back to that site, but there are other sites I go to that I noticed they loaded a little quicker for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's where my problem was.
Right. If you disable Java, of course, you're not going to get any of that stuff, but that's fine.
Well, that doesn't bother me.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you're fine. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Yeah, the...
Java takes forever to
load. I wish I could go into that and talk about it, but we need to get away here for another commercial break.
All right.
Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or mortgage and your house payment. Rent or mortgage and your car payment, 850.
Mortgage and house payment.
The Buzz.
Welcome to the Department of...
Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And We have online with us, like I promised, Jim Johnson from Intel. Jim Johnson is the business unit manager of the small business network operation within the network product division of Intel Corporation in Hillsborough. He's calling from Oregon. So, Jim, are you up?
Yes, you bet. Good morning.
What time is it?
It's a little after 6:20 or so.
And are you waking up the whole family?
Oh, we usually get up. I have some small kids, so they're up and about.
What's wrong with these people in Oregon?
I don't know. They all get up. Hi, Jim. I'm Larry.
Hey, hi.
Nice to meet
Larry
you.
Larry is our co-host.
Great. Nice to meet you, Larry.
And let's see. We're going to be talking about the in-business product that Intel has. Tell us, first of all, what is the small business trend? What I'm trying to say is,
what are you doing?
What time is it back there?
Well, our screener isn't here today, so I'm not sweating
over
here.
Yeah, I'm sweating it here. What is networking when it comes up to the small office or home office?
Well, networking is simply a group of products and a technology that allows small business, well, any users, to share PCs, share their printers, share devices on a network.
Right.
And it's a real cost-effective way, as people use more PCs in their office, to share, say, printers and internet access, so they don't have to buy each device for each individual machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this has become pretty important for small business is, considering that over half the world is employed in a small business, and we define a small business with less than 100 employees, and 90% of those small businesses are less than 20 employees. So it has huge impact, and it's very important for the economy of every nation throughout the world to make sure, as these small businesses grow, they're very productive.
And so what kind of small business problems networking solves?
Well, let's say in a five-person company where you have five people using PCs to do their work, and they may be using their PCs to manage their inventory, to track their clients and what their clients are purchasing. They may be doing marketing brochures. You know, some of the newest PCs and newest software allow a PC to do absolutely professional documentation, collateral, full-color brochures, etc. And as these five people, I'll just refer to this as more of a real-world example, it's easier to understand. As these five people want to start sharing these documents, they really have one of two methods. They can not use a network, and each one of them will have to print it out and show their colleagues, or they'll have to hand it over on a floppy disk back and forth. And that's slow and cumbersome.
Sneaker.
Yes, sneaker net is what we call it in the industry. So they will use networking technology. It's just a little arcane. The other thing that's happening is about half the small businesses are now using the Internet one way, shape, or form. So the Internet, just like for the home, is having a huge impact. And what they're typically doing on the Internet, number one application is email. And the second application would be browsing, understanding what their competition's doing, understanding where their customers are, what their customers need, or what their customers do. So say all five of these employees want to get on the Internet at some point in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You can either have one machine set up, so they all have to keep changing in and out and only use the machine one time with a modem and a phone line, or you could get each one of those machines its own phone line, its own modem, and its own Internet account.
Expensive.
Very expensive. It's actually prohibitively expensive,
right,
for most small businesses. And so with the Intel in-business networking products, we've designed a group of products that the small business owner themselves can install. And we really focused on a couple key areas for the small business. We wanted to make sure it was very easy to use. So we designed a product, when you open it, it doesn't have a networking manual. It really has a setup guide with clear pictures and the three or four steps needed to follow to install the device. They're very affordable. But most importantly, probably in visiting with hundreds of small businesses, one thing we heard over and over again is They don't want to buy something today and have to throw it away and change it tomorrow if their needs have increased or the number of people they need to support grows. So it uses the newest technology that even large businesses use for networking based on Ethernet and fast Ethernet, and so it's a very safe investment for small businesses also.
Mm-hmm. Is that what this Internet station is?
Well, yeah, so if you look at our product line, the Intel and Business Networking product line, you need basic connectivity with adapters for your PC and
right.
a hub, which is like an extension cord. You know, if you have a bunch of appliances in your room and you want to all get them power, you plug them into an extension cord. A hub is similar to that, and you can plug a networking wire from the hub into all the PCs, and now they're all connected to each other.
Okay.
The Internet station is one of these devices that you'd hook onto your network like you would a PC, and then you'd hook a phone line into it. And then everyone that is connected to that network would have access via that phone line to their Internet access provider.
Can only one person use it at a time?
No. Even, everyone on the network can use it simultaneously.
So you can have five people connected to the Internet through one phone line?
Yes.
Through the Internet station?
Yes, you could. In the example we were using, all five would have access. The device can support more than five, mm-hmm. depending on their use, and we designed the product so you can start with your single analog line. And
so
it also
even go with 33.6 or 56.
Right, just go straight out.
Yes. And it also supports ISDN, so if they find that those five people are not getting the performance they want out of an analog phone line, they could contract to get an ISDN phone line, which is effectively a larger line. We don't see many small businesses having those bandwidth requirements on average, but again, you know, on average is dangerous because some will need it.
Well, especially, I mean, I do this for a living. I mean, I do small businesses, and the issues you're bringing up I live with every day, and you're exactly right about the way these things are going and the kind of products needed because, and I also see the future because there are more and more small businesses want an Internet presence. So they want somebody to design or themselves to design and maintain a web page and be able to gather information off of it or put information up on all the time. So
this is more like to stay connected and you have your email.
Email, but you can also,
live.
But you can also
live.
Check your web page out and do things like this.
Yeah, we ship our Internet station ships with a CD that contains Internet Explorer 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a web browser with it if they don't already have one on their PC. And we've gone throughout the world to launch the products because the problems we see here in the U.S. are very similar to other countries. And we have a contest whenever we go to do a product launch, and setting up the Internet station is the focus of the contest. And we have two, we ask for volunteers from the audience that aren't, you know, super PC users to come and have the contest. And the average setup time for the device has been 8 minutes. But the winner so far, it was in Guangzhou, China, 4 minutes.
All right.
So it's measured in minutes. And in the usability studies, people, you know, the feedback we get is, wow, I don't know why I've waited. This really isn't difficult. I've seen ads for networking about manage your network and so forth, which most companies advertise towards larger businesses with different needs.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback has been absolutely, wow, this is very useful.
We're talking with Jim Johnson, who is the Business Unit Manager of the Small Business Network Operation within the Network Products Division of Intel Corporation in Hillsboro, Oregon. Jim, let's talk a little bit about the products themselves here. I mean, I want to go through the list. So you have the Internet station we talked about, and of course, small businesses are always concerned with price. I mean, they're not going to spend $2,000-$3,000 on a something that will provide them all with direct Internet access, even if it saves them money at that price. But the Internet station is only $4.99?
Correct.
And that's for unlimited number, or what's the upside?
What? Well, it actually supports a full Class C site, which means that you can actually have 256 IP addresses.
Okay.
But in most cases, with occasional browsing, we really designed the entire product line for 50 users and less.
Okay.
We found if you start getting above 50, you start having some different needs in your network and server requirements.
Right. That's what I ask, because those are exactly
the main thing that's important here is that today you go to an ISP and you're getting a dial-up account, mm-hmm. you do not get a dedicated IP.
Right.
Your IP changes every time you...
Yeah, it's a dynamic IP address. Right.
And, Jim, this thing will do internal IP of its IP numbers of its own, correct?
Yeah, so in the five-person office, it'll actually, every time you power up, will assign each one of those PCs its own IP address inside the account.
Right.
But only show one IP address to your internet service provider.
And that IP can be changed every time, because as you log in to the ISP, your IP changes.
Yes, exactly.
So it sort of like shields you from it, so you don't have to go and find an ISP that has static IPs, which don't exist anymore almost.
Exactly.
So this is what this will solve. Yes. Then you have the hubs. You have the 5-port hub and the 8-port hub, which is just standard pieces that are sold all over the industry, $79, $99 suggested. But then we're coming to the fast hubs, which is the 10-100s. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've designed the connectivity portion of the product line with a couple things in mind. First of all, we expect many businesses to want to get basic connectivity for the lowest possible cost. And a good way to do that is using the 10 megabit products, which are both priced under $100, to get basic access. But then we also wanted to make sure for some of the high bandwidth users, as many small businesses that are doing designs or graphical work that need higher performance. And that's why we have the 100 megabit. It runs at 10 times the speed of 10 megabit, but it uses the same Ethernet, fast Ethernet standards. So, again, they're compatible with each other, which is why we have the 10-100 capability on the fast Ethernet product line. So you may have, say, these five users we've already talked about. Say they're running at 10 megabits.
Right.
And now you've hired two people to help you on your marketing, do some collateral, even do web page design, like we mentioned. You may want to have them run at 100 megabits so they can have high bandwidth between themselves, and they may even want to use a server for that segment.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to bring these two segments together. Otherwise, you have two separate networks, and you end up with the same problem you solved in the first place, is
right.
where these two groups can't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So with a 10-100 capability, you can plug the 10 megabit network into a device connected to the 100 megabit network, and now you have two LANs, and we now call that a work group. And while they're more expensive, say the 4-port hub suggested lists at $245 versus a 10-megabit hub at less than $100, so it's another $145, say, you're getting 10x the bandwidth and performance.
Right.
So even for many companies, that extra $150 they'll find worth it for the increased performance.
And to even increase the performance or make it appear that it's more of a bandwidth and faster, you have the switching hubs.
Yes. Now, this is interesting, and I've had lots of questions from customers on why would I need a switch. And first, for some of your listeners that aren't familiar with some of these devices, we've talked about a hub as being an extension cord. So you plug in your extension cord into a wall outlet, and then you'd have a bunch of your different appliances that could plug into your extension cord. Think of the switch as the wall outlet. And what you basically have is in a hub where you'll all share 10 megabit or 100 megabits per second, you'll all share that bandwidth. With a switch, you'll dedicate that bandwidth from the switch to the PC. So instead of five devices sharing 10 megabits per second on a hub, you will actually have every device coming out of the switch have a dedicated 10 megabit per second port. Or, in a 100 megabit case, a 100 megabit per second port. And what you really do here is you guarantee bandwidth.
Right.
You never have to worry about your network becoming loaded, overloaded at peak times, like rush hour. You can guarantee the user high bandwidth. And some of these people that do heavy transmissions of large graphical files and so forth need that. The accounting department often needs that because most of their traffic occurs when they close their books.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
I've run into that problem.
Yeah, and they're running all their applications.
Yeah, you see a little collision light just...
And the last thing the finance people need when they have 3 to 5 days to close their books is a slow network slowing them down. That's actually where we typically see a switch and a server deployed first in a business PCs for kind of back office type work.
These are all multi-platform. I mean, there's no operating system demands on it.
Yes, they'll support any platform.
Sounds like a good deal.
What is Intel's solution? How did you guys come up with all?
Intel's been in networking since 1990, branded networking. Actually, way back in the early 80s, we formed the Ethernet standard with Digital and Xerox. It was called the DIX initiative. And it was put in place so large mainframes at different sites could communicate with each other over a common protocol. And we developed silicon for many of those products during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 90s, we actually entered the networking market providing networking adapters for personal computers. And we really wanted, the problem we were solving then is we wanted to ensure we had very good price for high-performance networking products. And that has really been our theme through the 90s, is we want to make sure the industry has very high performance for a very fair price. And 3.5 years ago, we took fast Ethernet as our mission to make sure we provided fast Ethernet networking for networks, so 10x the performance for the same price as Ethernet.
Mm-hmm.
And we launched that technology 2 years ago, and the market's successfully moving there. We looked at small businesses, though, and they weren't networking. Less than a third have networked. So here you have the majority of them are using PCs, but less than a third of small businesses use networks. And so we started studying this about 18 months ago, and we really found the issue there was not price performance. The issue there was ease of use. I guess the fundamental difference is they don't have an IT department. They don't want to hire an MIS professional.
Mm-hmm.
It costs money and doesn't necessarily add the value they needed for their company. So we went and solved really the two fundamental problems. Absolutely easy to use and install for an affordable price, but make it based on all the same technology that big businesses use. As their needs grows or people grow, they can use it.
So if you got a website, you must have one. You're Intel. Of course you have a website.
Yes.
Where do people go to look you up?
Well, if they go to www.intel.com,
right. Mm-hmm.
And they click down through business and go into the small business networking category,
mm-hmm.
So it's all a web page. The actual URL is /business/computing/small, but they can also click through. They'll find a small business networking site with really two themes. One theme is we have what's called Network 101, and it explains the basic networking terminology, the benefits, why they would want to use it. It takes the mystery out of networking. The second piece is it explains all the products in detail.
Okay. Where are these products being sold?
They're being sold in all the computer superstores. So if you have a computer superstore in your local area, you can find them there. They're also being sold through local PC dealers and branches. So if you have a local PC dealer where you buy your Intel architecture PCs, they can also sell you networking products, and they're through all the major direct mail catalogs in the U.S.
So pretty much everywhere.
Yes.
Terrific.
Okay. The time flew by.
Yeah, this was a good discussion.
Great.
I think you're right about this is exactly the area that needs
absolutely
needs
and
products.
And let me tell you something. Those products are of the highest quality. I mean, I've put my hands.
You've done it yourself.
And this stuff is hot. This
good.
Is great stuff. We need to have you back here in order to talk about that stuff, those products more. But we're running out of time here.
No problem.
Jim, I want to thank you for calling in. We're talking with Jim Johnson, who is the business unit manager of the Small Business Network Operation within the Network Products Division of Intel Corporation in Hillsboro, Oregon. And we'll have you here maybe within a month. Would that be okay?
Yeah, call back and we'll talk some more about it. This is very vital stuff for business.
And say hello to Billy, because she's listening right now. She's on hold on another line. Say hello, Billy.
I will do that.
All right.
Hello, Ellie. Hey, it was great talking to you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. Billy. Billy, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks for staying there, and we really need to go away.
Okay, that was wonderful, and I will definitely look into scheduling you guys in another month.
Yeah, good. We need to do that.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. And your calls are coming up next on the station. Want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment, 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. And with us on the phone, we have the Big Kahuna.
How you guys doing?
The Big Kahunis. I mean Kahunas.
Okay, moving right along.
Yes.
Hey, you guys like movies?
Always. Love them.
Did you see Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
Okay, well, I bet you haven't seen this. It's called Good Willie Hunting. And it stars your favorite president.
All right.
Slick Willie. All right, stop laughing. Now,
how do you find these sites?
Decision Design has, what these people do is they encourage people to visit your site by developing great games. So they developed a great game, Good Willie Hunting, which you can get and play online with Shockwave, or you can download it. Okay? And you remember the whack-a-mole? You go to the carnival and you whack the moles as they come out of the holes?
Right.
Okay, well, here you help Willie whack favorite people such as Newt Gingrich, Monica Lewinsky, Linda Tripp.
Don't go there.
Paula Jones. And help him get the chicken. I can't describe the whole thing, but trust me, you will enjoy this game.
Oh, God, I love it.
So now, they're also, from the makers of Good Willie Hunting, they are soon going to introduce Good Willie Grunting, which I can't wait to see. So click on this link and pick up the game and send it to your friends.
All right. All right.
Now, if you're like Larry and love screensavers.
Yes, right.
And you want to know where do you go on the net to find the biggest collection of screensavers, Excite's done a great job. They have put together screensaver sites, a whole list of them, from Lily's Free Screensavers to screensaver.com, Psychedelic Screensavers, Screensaver Heaven, the whole bit. So if you're looking for where do you go to find the biggest collection of screensaver sites, this is where you want to click.
You can see how excited I am about that one.
That's right. Now,
moving right along.
A couple of good sites for, and Larry's right, the screensavers on your system really are in more of a pain.
Yeah.
I've noticed. A lot of good sites for college students, and we focused on a couple here. Student.com, which talks about everything from entertainment to sports to news, campus life, things like that, roommate orientation, jobs, travel, the whole bit. So this is one good student site to click on, mainly for college students. Okay. USA Today has a UWire site, which is basically USA Today on campus. Talks about different college issues and topics. Here the headline is, Clinton fights to reduce college costs. And, of course, we know how he did that.
Mm-hmm.
He hired all the interns. college students travel a lot. And if you're a businessman and you travel a lot, USA Today did a nice, again, collection site where they have different travel site links. Everything from Travel Web, Travel Velocity, The Trip, OneTravel.com. Good site to check out airfares and discounts and different things like that, whether you're a college student or not. If you want to get your degree, here's Eye of You, Internet University. Good for college students. They have Survived the Semester sweepstakes, punchline features, shareware site, entertainment, games, lifestyles, gear, fitness, food, and health. How that fits together, I have no idea. So, again, if you're a college student, good place to check it out. If you want to see what's going on in college life, AT&T.com has a college page. Of course, what they're doing is promoting their student advantage card, but good site. Find out where you get discounts and pick up things like that. College Shopping Network, the ultimate shopping adventure. Good spot to pick up some discounts on different products, things like that. And Rankit. Rankit allows you to go in and learn about how to take care of your credit using credit cards. America's 100 most wired colleges. Vote for your local hotspots, resume tips, which is good for those graduating soon,
mm-hmm.
and places you can express your opinions on different hotspots or things of that nature. So a couple of good college sites, travel sites, and, of course, good Willie hunting.
Yep.
Which everybody needs.
Everybody needs to hunt their Willie.
Hey, all have right. you guys seen that the Dancing Baby is now being used in commercials on
yeah.
TV?
Yeah, on Ellie McBee. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, on the show, but, I mean, now it's
in commercials. No, commercial. I think it's Blockbuster, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did yeah. see that the other day.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. You came a long way, baby.
That's right.
Yeah. And all right.
And tell them where they can find all these sites.
They can find all these sites later on today at www.850thebuzz.com/compute.html. I need to change it and make it the bigkahuna.html.
You've been saying that for a long time.
I know. I just don't think about it.
It's sweaty.
Good. All right. We're running out of time.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for calling Big Kahuna. Bye-bye. And thank you, Big Kahuna, for calling in. Larry?
We never have enough time.
We never. I mean, you have about 20 seconds.
Hello, goodbye to Paula, who's worked very hard this week, fighting the battle, the good battle at the legislature. My daughter's first prom is tonight.
Ta-da!
My darling, have a good time. Be safe. And Monsi and Micah are going shopping today. They'll make a lot of merchants very happy.
And I want to thank Kathy for recording that show. Otherwise, you guys are not going to be able to hear it if you don't listen to the show live. So thanks, honey. That's it for today. That's it for today.
That's it.
Thank you for tuning in to 850 The Buzz and to Computers 98. As usual, practice safe computing, back up your hard drive, and don't forget to use a virus scanner. We'll be back here next Saturday at 8, and until then, keep your dial right here on the station where I pay your rent or your mortgage plus your car payment, 850 The Buzz.